And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
You are the power, and you do not need anybody's permission.
He's the only guy that ever crawled out of a grave where people didn't go, oh, ah!
Don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Outer Limits of Inner Truth radio show. I'm your host, Ryan. It is a great honor once again to welcome back to the program the legendary Martin Armstrong. You can learn more about him by going to his website at armstrongeconomics.com. Mr. Armstrong is the first website that I go to every morning. I literally will read his blogs on a regular basis. I always find that it is prime information that no one else has. Mr. Armstrong, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. And also a quick thanks is that thank you for standing with the forces of light. My understanding is that the forces of darkness wanted you to join them, but you chose to stand with humanity. So thank you for that. I don't know if many people recognize that. So thank you very much.
Well, somebody's got to stand up. I mean, these people were just too much, I think, really.
Yeah, they're pushing things very hard. I was really shocked to see your recent predictions talking about total chaos in the U.S. 2023 and 2024. And I thought it had something to do with Dane Wigginton from the geoengineering, because he's been on our show. He's talking about how they're manipulating the client. And I actually thought that had something to do with that. But it seems that based on your predictions, it may be more than that. Can you please explain why you think that there's going to be mass chaos in the U.S. in 2023, 2024?
Well, yeah, you have to understand that this whole thing has been orchestrated from the beginning. They had to take Trump out. The next one was Putin, and the third was Xi. All right. And the reason for that is that the three of them were certainly against the climate change agenda, which is really the excuse to say no single country can battle climate change. So we have to give our sovereignty to the United Nations. And it's really quite dramatic, but this is the same theory that's been around for a long time. If there was just one government, there would be no war. All right. They obviously don't know their history. I mean, just look at the Roman Empire. I mean, yeah. One government and how many civil wars? So, I mean, it's just fiction, really. But you can go to my site, actually, and you'll find a video clip. If you put in Holland, Hollande, he was the former president of France. He stood up in parliament in Europe alongside Merkel and said exactly that. The whole purpose of the EU was to end European war. One government, and this is, it's just mind-boggling that these people can think this without, they never look at history. But this is what they do. They just come up with this idea and there's no backing behind it. But, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's just do it.
All right. So for 2023 and 2024 and the U.S. with the chaos, is that something that is a direct result of what's happening with the push, I guess, to incriminate former President Trump? Is that going to be enough to trigger something? Because when I look around and I see in the U.S., I still see a lot of Americans very comfortable. They're still getting paychecks. They're still well fed. It seems like that there's always that quote, the lust for comfort murders the passions of the soul. And I feel a lot of people are still in that comfort zone. So for 2023 and 2024 in the U.S., is that a result of those people losing that comfort? Is that chaos that is happening destined because we're going to see crisis in the food shortages? I mean, what would you say would be the pinpoint of what that's going to be like?
Most of the shortages were created by COVID. You shut down, lockdowns and things of this nature. I mean, I received many emails from farmers that had killed 30,000 chickens because they couldn't get them to market. You can probably find videos of potato farmers who just had to plow everything underground. You know, I don't know if these people actually understood what they were doing. I would tend to think that they're more stupid. They don't look beyond the end of their nose, really. But you lock down people like that, shut down truckers, et cetera. Doesn't it understand that, you know, the food isn't going to get to the place where it's supposed to go? It's just mind-boggling. But now you had that former BRICS, who she was in the White House, and she's come out with her book saying there was no back, you know, no support for a lockdown. And then Fauci comes out, oh, well, I never said there should be a lockdown. I mean, it's, you know, it's very hard to get through to the truth, but these people are brain dead. That's all I could tell you. I mean, they have no concept of even how the economy works. You know, it's the economy is more like a rainforest. All right. If you eliminate one species, that may have been the food supply for something else. And then that dies, and that is a food supply for something else. It becomes a ripple effect. We are all connected globally. Even these sanctions against Russia, first of all, sanctions have never worked. Not against any country, Iran, whatever. You know, the idea is that you punish the people and there'll be regime change. They'll overthrow their government. I can't find one example in history where that has ever actually worked. Again, it's another one of these theories they come up with. It sounds nice, but it does not pan out. And once you put these sanctions on Russia, I mean, in part, it was also for the climate change. You know, you saw
great agenda.
You know, saying, oh, shut down the energy. You know, Germany ended up putting out a brochure, How to Cook Without Electricity. I mean, you know, you have to understand that you have, unfortunately, a bunch of climate zealots, and all they care about is that. And so even in the United States, they've been pushing really to shut down fossil fuels before there is an alternative. I think even, you know, the head of Greenpeace came out against AOC and said, you know, you want to shut all this down. How are you going to get the food into New York City? Horse and buggy?
Logical.
It's they don't look at things from a whole perspective. It's always just this one single thing. And it's never, you know, you can't reduce the whole economy to a single cause and effect. It has major ripple effects. Now, the sanctions against Russia have actually destroyed globalism. So Russia's off now. You have Russia, North Korea, China banding together, which is exactly the opposite of what Richard Nixon tried to do by divide and conquer. And so you have China, you know, creating its chip system as an alternative to SWIFT. So you've divided the world economy already in half. And I'll say when Russia went into Crimea back in 2014, Obama turned to SWIFT and he wanted them to remove Russia from the SWIFT system. They refused. All right. Well, they changed. They got rid of the head there and they put a new guy in 2019. And he just says, oh, okay, fine, whatever you want to do. That was suicide. The SWIFT system is so everybody can communicate, et cetera. And by removing Russia from that, you then made, you know, China look at it and say, hey, wait a minute, you could do that to us. So naturally, they're going to go off and try and create their own alternative system. I mean, it's I don't know. I just don't see the you know, how we have anybody there with half a brain that understands how the world actually functions. You know, you push any animal into a corner and it's going to at least try to defend itself.
Well, it seems that at this point, I mean, you see all these countries acting independently. And I thought it was really interesting that you said that the world economy kind of broke in half. It kind of divided and went certain ways. And I echo back to something that I keep on hearing about. I mean, there's big and Peter Schiff, and then you've got Jeff Berwick, I think Charles Salente and Ron Paul and all those other people. They keep on saying, okay, well, eventually we're going to hit that hyperinflation in the U.S. and the currency is going to collapse. And you were the only person I ever came across that said, no, they're not going to cancel the currency because you think that it was all this excessive money printing. No, it's a collapse of confidence in the government. Well, and then remember you're citing Weimar Germany, saying that, well, because there was a collapse, the confidence in that particular government, that's why the currency hyperinflated. If you look at the U.S. right now, you know, you've got what, you're going to have a $30 trillion debt. I don't know how much higher it's going to go. I don't know how long these people can do this. In the same time, you're seeing a collapse of confidence in institutions like the Supreme Court. A lot of people don't agree with their particular recent decision. You're seeing a collapse in the institution of what happened to former President Trump. I think a lot of people are questioning things right now. I think one of your recent articles talks about how the U.S. suffered a tremendous reputation blow on the world stage because of that. So when you're seeing the U.S. in terms of the lack of confidence or the continued fleeing of trust in these once greatly held institutions, do you find that is on parallel or par with Weimar Germany? And do you think that the U.S. could eventually meet the same fate? Money printing aside, the fact that they're printing out all this money, can the U.S. eventually reach a hyperinflationary collapse because of that collapsing confidence akin to Weimar?
Probably not. The reason I say that is that they are at least aware of that. And that is what this whole digital currency thing is about.
Okay.
All right. Before you ever get to that, they're just going to basically cancel the physical money that we have and swap it out for digital currencies. Now, part of this great reset that Schwab has been pushing, honestly, it's been him versus me on both sides of the table. All right. He has been pushing this idea of effectively doing a default and creating a new currency. Now, that's what he's really saying when he says you'll own nothing and be happy. He's trying to make it sound like he's doing this for you. I'll relieve you of your student loans, all your mortgages, etc. That's nonsense. What he's really saying is the governments are going to default on all their debt. That's inevitable. All right. They can't continue this going on as is. But Europe is far worse than the United States. All right. Europe took its interest rates negative in 2014. I mean, it didn't stimulate the economy. Everything went completely worse, and the central bank had to buy everything that was there. Also, these people, as I said, they don't understand how the economy works. On the one hand, they ordered all pension funds, oh, you must be conservative. So they ordered them to have government debt. Well, you just took the interest rates to negative. A pension fund needs 8% on average to break even. So now all the pension funds in Europe are bankrupt. All right. So what's really going on here is that if they default, they know they're going to have millions of people with pitchforks, you know, storming their palaces, like in, you know, the old Frankenstein movies. So they have to come up with a way out. And that's what Schwab is really talking about, that we, this great reset is the government defaults, but to cover that, we're going to relieve you of all your debts as well. So they're going to wipe out borrowing effectively, and the pension funds will be the guaranteed basic income. This is really their agenda. I've been on the opposite side saying, look, you know, communism failed before because you are stifling human curiosity. All advance in every area, from technology to whatever, comes from someone being curious. All right, Einstein said that curiosity is basically the mother of all invention. If you don't try and figure something out, you'll never discover anything. So communism, I mean, I went behind the Berlin Wall before it fell. And people, I took a walk and with a friend of mine's cousin, we weren't there. And if anybody's remotely close to us back then, she would say, oh, you know, this is a pure viewer. They take such wonderful care of us, etc. And as soon as nobody was around, she'd call them, you know, a piece of shit. So people were afraid to talk. And we're moving in that same direction with this cancel culture nonsense. And
it's awful.
It really is, this whole thing is trying to create a different narrative to cover everything. And this, unfortunately, is what our computer is showing. We're looking at serious civil unrest starting in 23. Now, I can tell you the rumors that have been around, I hope they're not true, but this attack on Trump, for example, what were the bulk of these declassified documents about? Russiagate. he declassified them, and they're basically saying, no, we don't care what you said, we're just taking them back. They don't want that to come out. All right. That's part of this problem. Secondly, you really have this idea that the Democrats are so desperate at this stage in the game, the climate change people behind them, that they fear that if the Republicans got back in, they would reverse everything. So that's why they've been adamant about trying to destroy the production of fossil fuels so they can't replace it. Now, the real rumor going on, which I hope doesn't happen, but is that they will slip a piece of paper before Biden and have him sign it, granting citizenship to all the illegal aliens they've been letting in, so that they will then vote Democrat.
Wow.
And if that happens, I think you're going to see massive civil unrest.
Okay. When you say civil unrest, I understand people getting upset, but what is it going to take to get people to take action? Martin, I am utterly shocked in the U.S. at the way children are being treated, that there isn't people going crazy about that. I feel like children in the U.S. are particularly exposed to some really graphic and horrible things, and they're mistreated. And a lot of fellow citizens are being mistreated, and no one really stands up. I think people are too damn comfortable, and I just don't know what it's going to finally take for them to get upset. I mean, I read your blog this morning about how the IRS is now sending armed agents into people's houses, and they're planning on doing it. They have 6 months worth of training. And if that stuff doesn't get people finally to take action, I don't know what will. And when I read your articles, I see these things happen. If there's going to be civil unrest, but I mean, what is this finally going to take for people that want to be left alone? The people that want to be left alone that are forced to get involved. What point does that happen where the people who don't want to get involved are finally?
It's usually the economics behind it.
Okay.
the inflation that we have is because of shortages. All right. So there's no level of interest rates that the Federal Reserve can move up to that would stop it. It only will make it worse. This is part of also the problem of Keynesian economics is collapsing. This idea of raising interest rates to stop inflation, et cetera, it doesn't. That was back in the idea of a speculative boom. All right, but this is not a speculative boom. We're talking about real live shortages here. And then you have droughts that are this year should be a 45-year high in temperatures.
Yes.
It's we're getting very close to back to the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. About 51% of the states right now are in some sort of a drought condition. So, I mean, you can't pass a law and make it rain. It's just not
going to happen. They'll try.
You know, and raising interest rates is not going to make it rain. So, but the Federal Reserve, because Keynesian economics is the only thing they have, if they don't raise interest rates, the politicians blame them. So it's back and forth. It's the politicians' fault, but you know what we have here is that they can spend whatever they want, and they say, "Well, inflation—that's the Fed's job," and the Fed has no control over the fiscal budget. All it can do is raise interest rates, but that's irrelevant. It doesn't stop this type of inflation, and that's our real problem. And I think you're going to be looking at shortages continuing into 24, and people are going to be looking at, you know, the inflation going up even higher.
Jeez. I remember listening to one of your previous interviews where you said that inflation was going to be about 25% by 2024. And I mean, generally speaking, I listened to that and I started buying up a lot of, you know, items, and some of the stuff that I purchased a year ago, 2 years ago, has gone up by 50, sometimes 100%. So do you think that one of the best things that people can start doing right now? I mean,
yeah, I mean, look, there are times I go to the store and, you know, there's no milk. And yes, 2 days later, it's back, or you go there and there's no eggs. So we're really in this period of shortages. And you should have, you know, a supply of food around because, you know, there are periods in time where you may not be able to get, you know, a lot of different things. So, I mean, even when I go to shop, sometimes there's something that's there, and when it's there, I buy extra because next time I go back, it's not there. That's just really what you have to pay attention to. But this is definitely a different type of inflation. And it's been all caused by the COVID lockdowns and then the sanctions on Russia. Like, you know, most of the fertilizer comes out of Russia. I mean, they don't look at these things. And now
maybe they're doing it on purpose. Maybe they're purposely trying to do it. I mean, they're trying to lock everything down.
I'm not sure if that's the case. You may be giving these people a little bit more credit for intelligence than they deserve.
Okay.
I mean, just look at Canada. I mean, Trudeau's, you know, taking the same thing of going against the farmers, and they want to do that here. I mean, this is absolute total insanity. But, you know, there's no proof that CO2 even causes climate change. I mean, their models stopped at 1850. Okay. Yeah. How do we go from an ice age back to warming periods, back and forth? I mean, they don't want to address that.
It's so weird about that because, you know, there's the ice age farmer, and then Jeff Berwick talks a lot about it, Dal Vigilante, on his show. And I'm hearing that, okay, we're actually not going to have global warming. We're actually going through a global cooling period. And then Dane Wigginton from the geoengineering talks about, no, this is something completely different. So I'm hard to figure things out. All I know is that when you have collective groups of individuals, like I said, at a government level talking about things, I generally don't believe them. George Carlin said it best, that, you know, you don't trust these people. So I really don't know what to believe. I just find that whatever they're saying is probably untrue at the government level. But from what Socrates is predicting, is Socrates predicting a cooling period? Is Socrates predicting a period of we're just going to have a warming period? I'm just curious what Socrates.
No, it's warming right now. I mean, yeah. 2022 should be the high in temperatures.
Okay.
It's a very standard 45-year cycle and that sort of thing. we will then go into a cooling period. All right, now that's actually worse than warming. most of your cooling periods are then followed by increases in disease and things of this nature. Back in during the American Revolution, it was very cold. That was the bottom of the middle of the mini ice age. I think it was John Adams that even said, we can't grow anything. The ground is frozen 2 feet deep. Mm-hmm. Since then they go, oh, well, it's been warming because of the Industrial Revolution. It's just not true. I mean, if you just even go back and look at history and climate, you see that the warming period is when Rome began to rise. As soon as this started to turn cold again, Rome fell. Wow. Famine comes and things of this nature. And what can make it really worse is a lot of that volcanic activity. There's a book out, you can get The Year Without a Summer. And that was in the early 1800s when Krakatoa went up. It snowed in New York City in July. It throws so much ash up into the air that the sun, bounces off it. So we don't get warm on the bottom. The same thing happened around 561 AD, and it kind of wiped out civilization at that point. So you have to be, mindful. I mean, if that happens, that will then push us into what they call a volcanic winter. And the correlation studies on that is that when you do go into solar minimum, it puts out a different type of a gamma ray, which penetrates the earth more. And they hypothesize that perhaps that creates the volcanic activity. They're not really sure. It needs a lot more research on that before they can really say this is definitively what causes these volcanic winters. But we are going into a solar minimum after probably 25. So
okay.
I would be more concerned about that longer term. And if you definitely see a lot more volcanic activity after 24, it could be pretty bad then.
I think it's so amazing that your computer can predict certain things. And one thing I've always been curious about is, because you've been so accurate over the years with so many of your predictions, has Socrates ever predicted a future period of enlightenment in humanity, or predicted a period of time when we'd have other great teachers? Because I call me crazy, but I really think that collectively speaking, humanity is so not reaching up to its full potential. I'd say we're only maybe about 10%. There are so many wonderful things we could do. I think we're only seeing the most evil, most heinous side of humanity, especially coming out of the top. I don't think you need to follow that. I always wonder if Socrates foresees any periods of time where we're going to have an enlightenment or even a prosperous, happy period of humanity.
I think that will probably be after about 2040.
Okay.
They say history then produces people that we need. and you get an enlightenment like we had at the American Revolution. So that's really what our computer's showing. That after 2032, we have, unfortunately, because the founding fathers listened to the, I would say, the fake news of ancient times, who was written by Cicero. Now, Cicero was one of the optimists part of the oligarchs, and he railed against Caesar all the time. But when Caesar crossed the Rubicon, everybody cheered because the Senate was just so corrupt. The cities opened their gates. They saw him as a savior. All right. it was Brutus, Cicero. They fled Rome because the people didn't support them. All right. So unfortunately, this idea, Caesar was against the Republic. Republics are the most corrupt form of government possible.
Agree more.
Even a dictatorship is better, mainly because you can't bribe a dictator, right? But in a republic, everybody's up for sale. The real form of government that I think we have any hope for is a real democracy. And a real democracy is where we certainly could do it right now. Do we vote to invade Ukraine? Yes or no? The people should make that decision, not somebody who's getting paid, you know, under the table by a military installation or whatever, like Dick Cheney. I mean, you know, the company that he was formerly head of suddenly became the one making billions of dollars on the Gulf War. And as soon as they were going to be investigated, what did they do? They resigned their American citizenship and opened in Dubai. So you couldn't subpoena them. I mean, the corruption is just mind-boggling. I'm about to put out a book, and I think it's going to really kind of be quite, you know, enlightening to a lot of people, because I managed to get a hold of the all the declassified documents from the Clinton administration. They're just going to blow people's minds, really. What really has been going on, I got all the phone calls between Yeltsin and Clinton. I mean, it's really eye opening, because what we've been told in the press and all the time, it's just a complete lie.
I can't wait to learn more about it. I mean, could U.S.-Russia relations have been much different at this point?
Oh yes, absolutely. There were people trying to take over Russia, and the theory was the United States should absorb Russia and bring it into NATO, and the former enemy of Russia should be absorbed the same way as Germany and Japan. This is all in writing.
I can't wait to read the book. Your other books are really fascinating too. And you got, again, just a quick plug, armstrongeconomics.com. I go to the site on a regular basis. You should go there as well, get some great books. Warren, wanted to come back real quick to 2032, because that's actually something that many of my listeners have been asking about, because they keep on saying what's going to happen in 2032, what happens after this. A lot of people seem to have this idea that they don't want to do the work. They're expecting something to happen. They're expecting someone to save them. And I don't adhere to that philosophy at all. I think every single day a person should be taking some kind of action, or all action necessary, to build a life that they want, to build a life for the country that they want. So what do people do between now and 2032? What would you say would be the peak tyranny in the US that people can expect between now and 2032? And what actually happens in 2032, where the light finally comes in?
Well, I think that's more or less the big beginning of the complete collapse. We're looking at a different form of government, and I'm hoping it will be a direct democracy that emerges after that. But the form of governments that we have right now are just not sustainable. The corruption is just overwhelming. Even take Zelensky, go and look at what he ran on. End of corruption, and he will seek peace with Russia. They will say whatever they need to say. As soon as he got in, I mean, even Congress has confirmed he's got over $100 million he's stolen and stashed offshore. Yes. So much for ending corruption. Right. And he's done nothing but seek, you know, war with Russia. That's what he's paid to do. So unfortunately, in a republic like this, I can stand up and say, vote for me, I'll give you 3 lollipops and whatever. And then I get there, oh, sorry, you know, can't do that. Yeah. And they assume we are stupid. And there's a lot of, I would say, validation of that.
I'll agree with you on that one.
That we tend to forget very quickly. And so they can promise whatever, run their 4 years and come back. Oh, I didn't say that. I, you know, this is what I stand for now, you know, and be, oh yeah, yeah. Okay, great. You know, it is changing a little bit. I mean, if you look at Liz Cheney, she, you know, lost.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is a good sign, showing that people are actually paying attention and getting, you know, didn't like her at all. I think it's, we're looking at, you should really pay attention to what's taking place. Understand that you are on your own. If you're counting on Social Security or something, it's not going to be there. All right. This is the collapse of government. And they're going to have to reorganize how things are done. I'm hoping we end republics. And we certainly, if we can buy from Amazon online with security, why can't we all vote the same way for security? I think that, you know,
I don't understand why we need to necessarily have a democracy where you have some form of government beyond that. There's a people that call themselves volunteers who just want to be left alone. And when I want to ask you this, is that, do you think that people align themselves with any type of groupthink, whether it be libertarianism, communism, socialism, that eventually at some point they are going to be intellectually enslaved because they're not acting like an individual? Is there any path for people who just wish to be left alone, that don't want to join any particular political party, that don't wish to be a part of any particular religion, that just want to live their life? They don't want to infringe upon other people, and they don't want to be left alone. Is there any future for that? Is there any nation or civilization that can emerge where there's no hierarchy, where people do not have to bow down to any particular kind of authority?
Nice idea, but I don't know any period in history where that's actually happened.
Okay.
They often say the best form of government is a benevolent dictator. And you just have to, the more laws you create, that's what brought Byzantine down. I think, you know, they even said there were more, it got to the point there were more tax collectors than there were taxpayers. So the system doesn't, you know, allow itself to continue under those terms. And what we have here under this system, they thought that, you know, before 1971 under Bretton Woods, if you had $1,000 worth of e-bonds and you went down to the bank and you said, hey, I would like to borrow against these, it was illegal. You had to cash them in. Only after 1971 were you allowed to borrow against government securities. So if you went trade futures or whatever, you put up the collateral as T-bills. All right. So that changed everything. Suddenly, the national debt is money. All right.
Really?
But it just pays interest. And then you have cash on the other side. And I think this is what a lot of the people that you mentioned don't understand. It's not the Fed creating money. You have basically Congress increasing the deficit and borrowing. That is also creating money. All right. And that debt is the collateral for the world. The US dollar is the only currency that hasn't been canceled. Canada didn't cancel their currency, but Trudeau just passed a law at the beginning of the year that he has begun to start canceling notes. Europe, they cancel currency routinely. Even in Britain, if you have a note from 20 years ago, it's, oh, that's canceled. You know, you got to You got to take it to the bank and see what they give you for it. So it's something that, you know, the U.S. dollar has never been canceled. And it's been the reserve currency for that primary reason. And I mean, I've been in Greece and, you know, as a tourist, and they say, gee, okay, fine. If you give me some dollars, they'll give you 10% off. Okay, fine. So you pay them in cash. You know, this is, I mean, the dollar is 70% of dollars are traded outside the United States. It's the hedge against your own government. So that's why the U.S. dollar will be the last to fall, not the first.
Got it.
And what these people don't understand is that to sell debt, emerging markets issued it in dollars. So as the Fed raises interest rates, you start seeing emerging market economies collapsing and going into civil unrest. Sri Lanka, Lebanon, Argentina. I mean, this is part of the civil unrest and it will expand. So the Fed has actually, by default, become the central bank for the world. If it raises interest rates, it's raising interest rates everywhere. You got bank runs in China. China warned its banks and its provinces, do not borrow in dollars. They borrowed in dollars because it was cheaper interest rates. Now they're paying the price for it. As the interest rates go up and the dollar goes up, you're getting, you know, banks that are failing. Again, you know, people don't understand how the world economy truly functions. We are all connected. We're all together.
Well, I appreciate that answer. It's very insightful. And again, you know, a lot of things that you say are, they offer a side that a lot of other individuals will not present or just haven't shown. So I appreciate you presenting that perspective on it. When we last spoke, one of the things I was asking you about are hedges of inflation. You were saying that how somebody who was carrying gold on a plane had their gold seized, and precious metals are, you know, kind of hard to carry around. So if you have dollars that are losing their value, I mean, there's something, a website called Inflation Calculator. You can see how much your money has lost value in at least the past 5, 10, 20 years. What are some of the best places for individuals to put their money in as a hedge against inflation, where you're not going to have, you probably be like shielded the most from excessive money printing or excessive inflation?
Well, it's basically pretty much anything on the tangible asset side.
Okay.
So it can be gold and silver. I mean, I would say silver coins are probably better, the old, you know, dimes and quarters, et cetera. It's just that you can't travel with money anymore. There was a woman that came from Canada, flew into San Francisco. She had $30,000 worth of gold and they confiscated it. And even domestically, there was a company in I think it was in Orlando or Tampa. They put an employee on with over hundreds in cash to go buy a tractor in Cincinnati. So domestically, not international. They still confiscated it.
Yes.
So it's trying to travel with money anymore is becoming impossible. Italy, if you have a lot of gold jewelry on, they take it off and they weigh it. They're hunting money because governments are absolutely desperate. And when the Weimar Republic collapsed, it really collapsed first in December of 2022. The government did a forced loan. So they seized 10% of everybody's assets, cash in the bank, et cetera. And they hand you these bonds. And you can buy them on eBay because they defaulted on them. But that is what caused the hyperinflation. Suddenly, everybody said, I can no longer trust the government. They just took 10% of my bank account. I'm taking everything and I'm putting it in Swiss francs or whatever other currency. that's why the next year the hyperinflation took place. All right. So once a government does that, and I fear that what they're doing with the, you know, the IRS is going to be absolute harassment. The IRS is not trustworthy. I mean, just look at, you know, under the Obama administration, there was this scandal. They were targeting anybody that was, you know, conservative. I mean, that was a big scandal. I mean, any agency in government is always going to do whatever they're told.
How long they can do it for, though? I mean, I understand why would they be going after citizens' assets when they can just print the money out from the Federal Reserve? Like, what do you need a person's assets for? Is it about control? And this thing comes back to 2032. How long does this go for? I mean, is this going to be?
I think, you know, after 2024, I think we're really in a serious situation. Okay. These people are. They're living with old theories and ideas. If we borrow money, that's not inflationary. All right. Because you couldn't borrow against the bonds. But once you could borrow against the bonds, then borrowing is still inflationary. They haven't made that connection yet. These people, they don't think. I mean, look at Pelosi. She goes off to Taiwan. Why? Oh, we're showing, support for Taiwan. Well, then China put on the biggest demonstration that they could take Taiwan in a day, you know, and all of a sudden people I know in Taiwan was like, please keep your people home. Will you? I didn't send her, but, they don't understand. They really don't. And it's on both sides. You have Mark Rubio, who is a Republican. He came out and said, if he was going to pass an act saying that if China supported Russia, then we would put sanctions on them. I wrote him a letter. I said, do you really understand what you're saying? I mean, he didn't respond, but I think he at least backed off. But I mean, this is complete insanity. They think they have power that they do not have.
Well, it's like consent. It's consent. People just give their consent and they give away their power. I don't give them away my power. And I train my work with other people. They don't want to give away their power. And it's crazy. I mean, you've said before, I guess we have like either the most like the dumbest people that have ever existed at the helms of leadership right now. But Warren, I've read you're going to come to your blog a lot, read a lot of what you say, and I follow a lot of your interviews. And just to come back to it is talk about how the U.S. could very well split or probably will split. Can you please discuss a little bit about why the U.S. is split, how it would split, what would be the top five best states to be in and the top five worst states to be in?
Well, historically... most countries split along the same lines that they had before. So it will probably be the South against the North, not for slavery reasons, but for different reasons. I go to Germany. I was in Bavaria and it was a holiday. And I said, oh, what's the holiday? Oh, we're celebrating the war. I said, which war is this? Oh, the war we won. I said, which one? Oh, the one against Prussia, the North. So the North was Protestant, the South was Catholic. You see the same thing in Ireland. So these differences remain. So the South, Florida, Texas, that area, they're very anti-Washington. In Florida, here you see signs from stores, thank you, DeSantis, because he didn't lock us all down and destroy their businesses. I had a PA, she was with me for quite a while, then she got married, and they opened up a spa in Philadelphia. And about 3 months before the lockdowns, they lost everything. Yes. Their life savings goes out the window. You know, these politicians don't understand anything. Germany is still quite insane, trying to push people into a fourth booster now. And I have a lot of friends in Germany, and they're like saying, no more, I had enough. People that I know there that are on a train, the mayor of Berlin says you still have to wear a mask. Not other cities, but Berlin does. So when the train goes through Berlin, they come on, oh, you got to put your masks on, we're in Berlin now. And then when the train passes through, okay, you can take them off. I mean, it's just, you know, you have insane local politicians have no idea what they're talking about, but hey, I got the power, you know, and this is very detrimental to society. It makes things very polarized. You know, the Democrats are using the abortion issue. And actually, the overturning Roe versus Wade was correct legally. There is no due process right. Okay, due process is the government basically against you, really. And there was another case when after Roe versus Wade was decided, somebody said, oh, okay, fine. I have a constitutional right. Well, then you should pay for it. It's called Harris versus McRae. And there they had to redefine it and say, well, the Constitution is negative. It's not positive. So the government has no obligation to provide a positive right to you. It's a negative restraint upon them. So it's, if you read them all, thou shalt not, you know, interfere with freedom of speech. You know, the government shall provide due process of law. This is all a restraint on the government. It's not a positive right for you. And they have flipped the idea of the Constitution around.
Yep.
We actually have no right. Our rights are inherent human rights. All right. They're all restraints upon the government not to do something. So if you look at it carefully, it's a plus versus minus interpretation. So Roe versus Wade was actually correct. But you know, what was coming also to the surface was that, okay, fine, if the government has the right to do, you know, to say that that's a constitutional right, well, then they have a constitutional basis to force everybody to get vaccinated. You know, so that being overthrown was actually correct legally. All right. It doesn't outlaw abortion, it throws it back to the state. And the very law that they reviewed was abortion would be illegal after 15 weeks. But you hear a lot of this, oh, you know, rape, incest, oh, that, you know, life of the mother, you know, none of this is going to count. And that's not true. They always did. But in doing that, you end up polarizing society. So you have people maybe preaching whatever, and they don't even know what they're saying. But you have divided the country between red and blue. And it's only getting worse. You know, going in against Trump was stupid. It was the worst thing that they could possibly do. But I mean, here you see them giving out sentences 3 and 5 years to somebody that was in the Capitol building taking a selfie.
It's horrible.
I mean, these people weren't in there with guns.
No.
But they need to call it an insurrection because the 14th Amendment was passed after the Civil War and said anybody that was involved in the insurrection, all right, cannot run for office. So that's why they need to call January 6th an insurrection, even though there was no, you know, didn't have guns and storming and shooting people. It's still an insurrection. It's not a civil protest. If they did, you know, they did that in one state house over abortion. Oh, that was just a protest, not an insurrection.
Right. Those people that are walking the buildings are actually standing behind the lines. They're standing behind those little dividers. It's crazy.
It is. The whole thing was orchestrated. I mean, I've got videos of guys in black and people yelling, "Hey, get them. They're doing something." And no, we're not part of this or that, or, you know, and obviously they weren't protesters covering their face with masks and running out with documents that they could blame on other people. So it was just largely this. You have to understand that in the case of Trump, he was perhaps naive, saying, "Oh, term limits, we're going to clean the swamp." All that is absolutely correct. What he didn't realize, though, is the swamp is both sides.
Indeed it is.
So you had a lot of the Republicans against him. It's like, hey, you're coming here and you're trying to stop our feeding trough. I mean, forget it. You know, this is my son gets this, whatever. I mean, they insider trading is fine. Oh, OK, fine. Pelosi's husband. Oh, well, I didn't talk to him. You know, I mean, it was just, you know, I had gotten my son a job in a brokerage house when he was in school for the summer. And the disclosure, oh, well, your father's in this, so you can't have any stock in this or that. Our restrictions are like, you know, 1,000 times more than theirs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Your spouse can buy whatever, you know, look at Hunter Biden, you know, I mean, come on. It's just, you know, there's just two sets of rules in this country, and that's the problem.
Okay, Mr. Martin Armstrong, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Again, your website is armstrongeconomics.com. It is the first thing I look at in the morning, Martin. I find that you have insight unlike anyone else. And I want to thank you so much for being such a force of light and of wisdom in the fight for humanity. Thank you for all that you do. And I know this must take a tremendous toll on you, seeing these news stories on a regular basis, engaging with Socrates on a regular basis, and seeing some dark aspects of humanity. But I can't emphasize enough how much everyone in the community and collective speaking of humanity thanks you for all that you do. Thank you so much, Mr. Armstrong.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Special thanks to our unbelievable guest, and special thanks, as always, to our virtues, Ms. Carrie O'Connor, Miss Constance Dallas, and our associate producer, Jenny Lamisa. To learn more about the Outer Limits of Inner Truth, please go to our website at outerlimitsradio.com. And till the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beer. Take good care, and thank you so much for listening.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.